Amen. You know, contrary to what people believe, we are not born a Christian. We must become a Christian. Seems so simplistic, doesn't it? And yet we have a world of confusion out there. We have people who say they're going to heaven, that they're Christians, and they smoke, they drink, they gamble, they cohabit, and they're involved in all the worldly pleasures, and they never go to church, but somehow heaven is their home, that they are Christian, and they have been Christianized, and they'll tell you different things have happened in their lives and how they became a Christian. And it's contrary to what the Bible teaches. And I will say this, and we will emphasize this, that contrary to what some people believe, we are not born a Christian. We must become a Christian. There must be a time in your life and mine when we genuinely turn from our sin. The word is repent. We do an about turn in relation to sin. And we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world and he died as our substitute upon the cross. And then by faith, we receive him or invite him into our hearts to be our Savior and our Lord. Thus, we become a Christian. There has to be a life-changing experience with Christ in which we convert to Christ and we are saved from sin, from death, and from eternal hell. There must be a specific moment in your experience. You mightn't be able to write it on the flyleaf of your Bible. You mightn't be able to recall it to your memory because you were so young. But there has to be at least a specific moment in your experience when you were born of the Spirit, you were washed in the blood, you repented and believed, and you became a Christian. There has to be a time when you were converted. And the reason why we must have this saving relationship with Christ or become a Christian is this, because mankind that is moral and educational and even at his so-called religious best is a lawbreaker. He is a sinner. He is a lost soul in his sin. He's unfit for heaven and for fellowship with God. Scripture teaches this with absolute clarity. For there's no difference. It puts a circle around us all. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. Did you get that? There's none that doeth good. There's none that understandeth. There's none. Did you get that? There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not even one. And I'm adding to the scripture there. David says, behold, consider this truth. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That doesn't mean you're born out of wedlock. In sin did my mother conceive me. In other words, every single person born into this world by Adam's line is born a sinner. The Bible says that we are spiritually separated or cut off from the life and enjoyment of our Maker. We are shut out of heaven because of the defilement of our sin. We are unclean in our sin and unfit for fellowship with God. We're under condemnation for that sin. And that sin, my friend, will sentence you and me if it's not pardoned and forgiven and we don't become a Christian. It will be sentenced to eternal punishment in the flame and in the torment of hell. And unless sinners are saved from their sin through faith alone, in Christ alone, unless they are washed in the precious blood of Christ, unless they're redeemed by that blood, they will never be in heaven. Except sinners repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to the saving of their soul, they remain on the broad road that leads to everlasting destruction. And sinner, you must be born again. You must become a Christian by faith in Christ's finished work and precious shed blood. You are not born a Christian. You must become one by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and by receiving him into your heart and your life as your own and personal Savior. Now tell me, has that happened to you? Has there been that specific time in your life when you truly repented of your sin? When you accepted or received or invited the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart to be your own and personal Savior? I've had the privilege over many, many years of gospel preaching to sit down with an unsaved man or woman, young person, boy or girl. And we have often remarked that there are individuals who come in. And whenever you try to find out their spiritual condition, one, Is it a matter of fellowship? Are they saved or are they backslidden? Or is it a matter of relationship? Do they actually know the Lord? When you begin to talk to them and they begin to allow you to ask them some personal questions that are kept to an inquiry room, by the way, you soon discover that they actually believe that they are Christians because of their birth or because they were baptized or because they were confirmed. And whenever we investigate a little further, we discover, sadly, that there's never been a time when they were saved. Questions like, perhaps, tell me, have you ever been saved before? And they say, no, but I am a Christian. Imagine. Yes, I have been saved, or haven't been saved before, but I am a Christian. Or some might even say, well, I didn't really ask the Lord into my heart. I just believed and I just went to church. And I want to tell you something. Those things are commendable. They're good. But there has to be more than just that, because most unsaved do the same. You know, has there been in your life a definitive moment, that defining moment in your life and your experience, when you actually knelt as a sinner before the Lord, acknowledged that you were lost and undone, and believed in your heart that Christ suffered, bled, and died for you, a sinner, and that Christ rose from the dead, and the sacrifice he offered, God will accept you and pardon you and forgive you if you repent of your sin and invite the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Invite simply means to trust and rely on him for salvation. Remember, our text tells us we must become a Christian. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, the power, listen to it, to be or to become the sons of God. Think of it. That's exactly what's implied here. As many as received him, to them gave he the power to become. They are not Christians. They must become one. There has to be that time when you receive. And then it goes on to say, even to them that believe. There has to be a time when you believe everything the Bible says about sin and about Christ and about salvation and about hell and about heaven and about judgment. You must believe every word. And then you must believe that Christ alone can save you. And I want to ask the question, has there been a time when you received and when you believed and became a Christian? For that's what the text implies. But as many as received, and we'll add in there, as many as believed and as many as received, to them gave he the power, the authority to call themselves a Christian, to become a Christian. I remember the day that I was saved. In fact, it was a night. The night I was saved, the 13th of June, 1983. It'll be my 40th anniversary this year. And the Lord willing, it most likely will be in the mission coming up to my anniversary. I will preach on the text that God saved me through. But you know, I can remember being saved that night. And I remember whenever I asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, I just kept repeating over and over and over again, I'm saved, I'm saved. I'd become a Christian. And whenever I went to tell my brother David, I met him in the washroom. The floor was as hard as a rock, those tiles and all the various chips and breakages and all the things that were there and under your bare feet. But it was like 6 inches of West Axminster carpet. Not that I know much about carpet, by the way. But I just felt I was floating on air. And I told my brother David that morning, David, I become a Christian. I actually used those words. And he says, you what? I says, I become a Christian. I got saved last night. And off he went to tell everybody on the wing, even including the psychopaths on that wing, that his brother Thomas had come to know Christ as his Savior. He had become a Christian. I can remember it. Now I'm saying to you, has there been a time? Have you become a Christian? Have you taken the step of faith and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him? That's right, received as your own and personal Savior. How important it is to know that it has happened. Even though you may not know exactly when it happened. You may not be able to write down the date as I have given you the date. It might have been as a child. It might have been so long ago. And you say, you know, I've worried about that. And because I don't have a date, I'm not saved. That's not true at all. As long as you know it's happened, as long as you know you've become a Christian and you know that you're saved and you're converted, these terms are all the same, by the way. We can use them for the same thing. Let me show you this evening, God willing, how to become a Christian. It's a wonderful thought. It's a great truth. Many know they need to be saved, but many don't know how to be saved. And there's a world, in fact, there's an eternity of difference. There are those who know they need to be saved, and there are some, and they just don't know how to become a Christian. Well, if we take this text of Scripture, verses 12 and 13, the Bible shows us how to become a Christian. Firstly, becoming a Christian is not by human descent. Notice what it says in verse 13, which were born not of blood. Do you see that? And the Lord shows us how to become a Christian by the use of negatives to show us a positive. He teaches us what it's not so that we would understand what actually it is, leaving us in no doubt what it actually means to become a Christian. And so the Lord begins in his word and he says, it is not, becoming a Christian is not by human descent. Notice what it says there, which were born, not of blood. And the end word is, but of God. You know, those who truthfully can call themselves the sons of God, the daughters of God, the children of God, or Christians for that matter, are not so by human birth or national race. It's a sad indictment on the Protestant religion that individuals you would meet, because they're in the Orange Order, because they're in their apprentice boys, because they're in some loyal institution or the Royal Black Preceptory, or because they go to a Protestant church and they take the name Protestant, that they believe that because they were born a Protestant, then therefore they are Christians and they're going to heaven. And you say, well, I don't believe there are any people like that. Well, I do. I have met them. I have had conversations with them. I've witnessed to them for years. And they believe. One man said to me, I quote, and it was my own brother Colin. He says to me, you can witness to me all you want. Here's what he says. I'm a Protestant. That's what he said. I was born a Protestant, and therefore I'm one of God's chosen people. That's what he said. And he was putting his trust and his hope for heaven on the fact that he was born into a Protestant family, into a Protestant housing estate, and into a Protestant community. And he sought after the idolatry, well, in some forms it is, of the heathen Protestant practices. But I will say this, it doesn't matter whether you're born Hindu or Jew or Gentile. It doesn't matter whether you're born Catholic or Protestant. Your birth does not guarantee you a place in heaven. And that's a mistake most people make, which were born not of blood. Human birth does not produce Christians. That's a sad teaching, where somehow you can procreate the church. That is not true. The church is not built by procreation, although numbers are built up that way. But Christians aren't. I want to tell you, the church is built up by what is known as new creation, regeneration, new birth, people becoming Christians. That's how Christ Church is built up. And we're not talking about a denomination or a fellowship of God's house where people are coming in and we are procreating children and we're bringing in families and we're seeing new people coming in and they say, you know, our church is growing. I want to tell you, the church only grows numerically, properly, biblically, when souls are added into the lively edifice of the church, the temple. And I want to tell you, human birth does not produce Christians, but the new birth, you must be born again. Salvation does not run in the blood of human beings. That's a mistake to make. We have people, and by the way, that was the sin of the Jewish nation. They believed not only were they God's chosen people, they believed that by birth and birth alone, they were God's chosen people. They were right with God. You only had to be born a Jew, and therefore you had eternal life. That is not true. Even Paul himself, the great apostle under inspiration, said these words, not all Israel are of Israel. Not all Jews are true Jews. They're not all in Israel of the seed of Abraham. It is the seed of Abraham by faith in Christ, by new birth, And therefore, human birth does not produce Christians. And that's wrong to believe that. Salvation does not run in the blood of human beings. I'll tell you what runs in the blood of mankind. Sin. Sin is inherited. And we procreate sinners, not saints. That's why men and women are not born Christians. And it's a foolish notion to say that I was born a Christian. You were not. And for whatever reason you give, the Bible says you're born a sinner and you must become a Christian. And this verse tells us clearly they are not Christians who are born of blood, born of the flesh. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me, not in salvation. We're born sinners and we must become Christians. That is, we must be saved from sin's awful plague and sin's awful pollution and sin's awful punishment and penalty and presence for all eternity. Procreation does not and cannot produce Christians. New creation, new birth, regeneration, the spiritual quickening of the dead soul and sinner. Didn't Paul say that writing to believers when he said of their past condition? Now they're born again, now they're Christians. He said of them in their past condition, he says, you hath he quickened, made alive, regenerated, born anew, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Christianity is not passed on by race or human birth. That's a mistake. It does not run in families. So that means if your family profess to be Christians, it doesn't make you a Christian. You're not born a Christian. You must become. No matter how much breeding, no matter how much pedigree you can trace in your past generations, and you can say, well, my great-grandfather was involved in the 1859 revival, or my great-great-grandfather. Now, my great-grandfather was involved in the height of Irish Presbyterianism, and my grandfather after that was involved in Free Presbyterian, and my father and mother to this day, and they're long-standing members of the Free Church. We've been involved in all of these things for generations, but I'll tell you this, that will never make you a Christian. That will never confer grace on your soul. That will never deal with your sin. That will never pardon a single sin. That will never get you closer to heaven. It'll drive you to the pit of hell. There's no use you say it saying, my mum's saved. My dad is saved. It's not of blood. No use you saying, my brother's saved. My sister's saved. That's a good thing. Why do you say that? We ask people and we ask the question, tell me, are you saved? Are you a Christian? And they say, well, you know, my dad is. Wow, why do they say that? We didn't ask about their father. They say that because they believe that somehow if their father or mother or brother or sister or most in their home are saved, somehow God will overlook them. And he wouldn't hurt the loved ones because he would drive the other person into hell. That's so wrong. I want to say this to you. There's no saving merit in saying, I was born into a Christian home. I was brought up in a Christian church. That makes me a Christian. There are people who believe that in this province. They believe that they were born into a Christian home and they're Christians. They believe that they were brought up in a Christian church and they're Christians. Well, let me ask the question. If you were born in a chicken house, would that make you a chicken? Of course it wouldn't. It's ludicrous, isn't it? Well, it's the exact same principle. Where you're born will not make you a Christian. And your breeding and your pedigree and your upbringing, it'll give you privilege. But it will not make you a Christian. You must become one by personal choice. There has to be a time whenever you are saved. Even King Agrippa acknowledged that he needed to become a Christian. Remember, Paul was reasoning with him. He honed in to King Agrippa, put him in a corner, and he said these words, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know you believe. But it's not enough. Because even the devil believes and trembles. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. But there's an altogether different thing in receiving, because the two words are used in the text. And he hones in on Agrippa and he says these words to Agrippa, that Christ came. And Agrippa interrupted Paul as he was in full flow preaching. And he says, Paul, Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. Agrippa realized, I'm not a Christian. Even all my birth and my royalty, look at me. I have all pomp. I have wealth. I have position. I lack nothing in this world. Yet, even though I was born of royal stock, I have pedigree more than Paul, a prisoner. And yet I am not a Christian. I must become one by repentance and faith in Christ. Almost thou persuadest me to be or to become a Christian. So there has to be a time when you personally turn from your sin, acknowledge that you're lost and undone, and believe that Christ alone took your place, died as your substitute, and bore in his own sinless body the undiluted wrath of God upon your sin. And God punished his son and your sin on him, that you could become a Christian. And then you've got to receive him into your heart and into your life. It is not by human descent. You notice what else is said in the text? It says it's not becoming a Christian is not by human desire. Now, this is a change of emphasis. It is not of human desire. Look what it says in the text in verse 13, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Do you see the change now? From birth to works. So we're moving on now, and you might say, preacher, I know I wasn't born a Christian. I know that. You've said it so often, and you don't need to tell me. I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a heaven. I know there's a hell. I believe there's a judgment day. Of course I do. But yet, you've never become a Christian because you're trying by good works to please God and get to heaven. That's what this verse means, not of the will of the flesh. All the resolve and determination and will of man will never produce a Christian. I want to tell you, no amount of good works that you have done, and I'm not putting those works down. I'm not. And if we had a society that did good works and charitable giving and love, it'd be a better society, that's right. But it'll never make you a Christian. Now, you may say, you're so harsh, so unkind and not compassionate. I want to tell you something. We've got to be truthful with you. Here's what the Bible says. No amount of charitable giving, good works, religious observance, no amount of human effort, not of the will of the flesh, will make your soul more acceptable to God. It won't happen. You can resolve now in your heart from this day forward to be the best person morally that you possibly can be. You can determine that you will help the poor and you will give half your goods to help charities and you will send donations to Turkey and Syria and to Ukraine and you will help the poor and you will help your neighbors and you will help the food bank and you will give your money and you'll give yourself and you'll volunteer for charitable work. That's all commendable and good. But it'll never make you a Christian. You must become a Christian by faith in Christ alone. You must become a Christian by receiving Christ as your Savior and believing that he died for your sins. I'm saying you can determine with all of your heart right now to obey the commandments of God. And you could keep those commandments from this day forth till the day you die or the Lord returns, but it will not make you a Christian. You can, with sheer effort and sincere desire in your heart, give up smoking, give up drinking, drug taking, gambling, give up the lusts of the flesh, put away the sins of the past, so to speak, and not visit them again or commit them again, but it will not make you a Christian because it's not of the will of the flesh. No amount of human effort can ever save your soul or give you peace with God or make you a Christian. So listen to me. You can climb the highest mountain in your bare feet. You can whip yourself in an act of penance. You can live as righteous as is humanly possible and yet still remain a sinner outside of Christ and lost and on the road to hell, because it's not by the will of the flesh. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone. That moment when you acknowledge your sin and believe Christ died for those sins, confess those sins to him and ask him to come into your heart and into your life, to save you from those sins and to make you his child or become a Christian. So becoming a Christian is not by human effort. It's not by your good works. It's not by anything else, but by the marvelous, matchless grace of God. Listen to what it says. For by grace are ye saved, or become a Christian, through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works. Paul agrees with John, doesn't he? Not of the will of the flesh, lest any man should boast. Salvation was purchased, not earned. In fact, wages is what's earned. And the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, which was purchased, is eternal life, becoming a Christian through the free gift of salvation in Christ. Christ took our place. Christ died for our sins. And we must come to him alone and believe on him and ask him into our heart and life to forgive us our sins, to save our souls, and to make us children of God or become a Christian. It's bestowed freely. It's given unreservedly, without any human merit, any human works. Simply come, sinner, and take Christ as your Savior and become a Christian tonight. Thirdly and finally, it's not only not by human descent and human desire, but becoming a Christian is not by human design. Now, this is important. Again, there's a slight change in the emphasis here, and it's very important. It is not by human design. Notice what it says in the text, which were born not of blood, that's human descent, nor of the will of the flesh, that's human desire, nor of the will of man, that's what is known as human design. In other words, your parents can have you baptized. They design how you become a Christian. They tell you how you can be Christianized. And I was brought up in Anglicanism. I was taught the prayer book. I was brought through the rite of baptism, the sacrament of confirmation. I was brought through the church in all of those areas. It never made me a Christian. I want to tell you something. My parents had design on me when my dad got saved, that I might come to Christ. So in the early part, they had me baptized. When I was 13, they had me in confirmation classes to be confirmed. And that was my father's design. But it didn't make me a Christian. And that's what the Word of God is teaching here. It's not of the will of man. That is, those outside of us. They can wish the best for us. You see, your parents can have you baptized. They can have you confirmed by a bishop. And then the prayer book, I remembered, I literally memorized it. I know they've modernized the prayer book today and it may not have the same wording, but it's not far away. And it says this in the prayer book. I memorized it. And it says, the priest shall say, after the rite of baptism, seeing then, dearly beloved, that this child is regenerate. That word means born again. It means Christianized. That's why it's so very difficult, I mean this, to witness to those who are of the Anglican faith. I'll tell you why. Because it's alien to them that they must become a Christian. Because they've been Christianized through the rite of baptism. And don't you dare take that away from me. That's my only hope. Or some might even say, I've confirmed my vows made on my behalf by my parents and godparents who were witnesses. As I was baptized, and then I was Christianized and brought into the church, and at 13, I made my decision to be a Christian. In other words, every young person is born again. Every young person is Christianized and made a member of Christ's church and suitable for the Lord's table or First Communion by confirmation. And therefore, it's by the design of the church. It's by the will of the man, the parents and friends, that they want to Christianize you. I know it doesn't happen in our denomination. So I say this to you. You can be baptized as a child. You can be confirmed by the laying hands of a bishop upon your head, by which I was told he conferred upon me the sevenfold grace of the Spirit. He didn't. He did not. He did not. It is not his to give. Through the rite of confirmation, I can speak on these things because I passed through them. I was taught these things. And I believe that baptism and confirmation was enough to get me to heaven. Most of my life until I realized I needed to become a Christian. None of these things can save your soul or can give you peace with God. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men, women, young people, boys and girls, whereby we must be baptized, we must be confirmed, no, whereby we must be saved or become a Christian. You see, it's all about Christ. It's not about me. It's not about church. It's not about my parents. It's not about a bishop. It's not about a priest. It's not about the sacrament. It's not about me at all. It's all about him. He died for me. He took my place. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way to become a Christian. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the door. I'm the way to become a Christian and enter into heaven. And if any man enter in, he shall, believes in me, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. I will say it again without apology. You are not born a Christian, you must become one. And it's not, one, by human descent. Two, it's not by human desire. Three, it's not by human design. God alone is sovereign. I told you that in the conversion of sinners. I understand that. My Calvinism will accept that easily. God is the author and finisher of our faith. He's the sovereign act in regeneration. We understand that. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. But that does not do away with human responsibility. God's sovereignty was never taught in the Bible to dispense with human responsibility. And if you want to become a Christian, then I want to tell you now as I close how you can become a Christian. But as many as received him, that's a word, receive. Even to them that believe, that's another word. Taking those two words together, we see how a person becomes a Christian. The first word is believe, and it means really to trust. Even to them that believe on his name. Now, that's not some broad belief about Christ. That's not some mental assent to the truth of Christ. There are thousands of people in this world who believe many things about Christ. The Muslim, talk to the Muslim, and they'll believe quite a lot about Christ. They'll believe quite a lot, not everything, but they'll believe quite a lot. The ungodly will believe quite a lot about Christ, but not everything. But James speaking, he said these words, "Thou believest that there is one God," that means one God and the truth in him, all about Christ. "Thou believest, thou doest well." But listen, the devils also believe and tremble, and they're not Christians. Devils and demons believe things about Christ, but they don't trust Christ. There's the difference. This belief is not some knowledge of Christ. It is not merely a mental assent to the truth of Christ. It's not some intellectual acceptance of the things of Christ. This is more than just believing. This means to come and believe that you must trust in him. You must rely on him. You must rest in him. You must give your life to him. You must trust Christ alone to save you. to become a Christian. You must rest upon His finished work to become a Christian. You must be washed in His blood to become a Christian. You must rely upon His finished work and shed blood and His resurrection from the dead to become a Christian. And then you must venture wholly, your faith alone, on Christ alone for salvation. And I wonder, what pillow will you lay your head to rest on tonight? I've often said this in gospel campaignings, and I would say it again, and most likely will say it in the mission in the tent and other missions we have this year, that there are two words, and if I was permitted by the elders of the church and those conducting the missions and inviting me as the evangelist to carry a little pulpit fall and just to hang it over the pulpit or to have it blazoned behind me in a huge banner, there are only two words I would carry with me, and it's the gospel in a nutshell, and it's those two words are Christ alone. Christ alone. That's what it means to become a Christian, to trust in Christ alone. Ah, but I believe in Christ and I'm baptized. That's not a Christian. But I believe in Christ and I've been baptized and confirmed. That's not a Christian. I believe in Christ and I do the best I can and go to church. That's not a Christian. That's Christ plus. Did you see where I'm getting at? This is becoming a Christian. Christ alone. Christ only. His work for me. His sacrifice in blood, His substitutionary death, His atoning merit, His life, righteousness, His death, satisfying divine justice, His resurrection from the dead, justifying those who repent and believe. Venture wholly your faith, your belief, your trust in Christ alone to save you. Now tell me, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Do you believe that He, as God, became a man and lived a sinlessly perfect life? Do you believe that Christ suffered and bled and died on the cross? And do you believe that He, and He alone, is your only hope for heaven? Do you believe? Do you? Well, then venture your soul's salvation now on that truth. Trust in Christ as your Savior. Become a Christian by faith or trust or belief or resting, relying, and venturing wholly your trust for all eternity on Christ. Notice what it says, not only the first word, believe or to trust, but the second word is to receive or to take. In other words, as many as received, to them give He power to become the sons of God or Christians. Not only are we to believe on Christ, but we must take Him into our heart and into our life. We must not only come to Him as a sinner, but we must invite Him into our hearts to save us from our sin. Salvation is that free gift of God out of a love and mercy for sinners, purchased for the lost when Christ suffered, bled and died on the cross. And now God offers it freely, yes, freely, to all who will believe, trust, and all who will receive, take Christ into their heart as their Savior. In summary, to become a Christian is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust Him for salvation. To become a Christian means to receive by faith Christ into your heart, actually into your life and your innermost being, that He purges you and cleanses you and forgives your sin and saves your soul and gives you eternal life and brings you into everlasting union with Himself. I'll finish with this. D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, he was in a meeting and he listened to a man give his testimony, and part of that testimony was how he became a Christian, of course. But he said in his opening remarks, he says, you know, I have been 42 years learning three things. Three things. 42 years on this earth learning only three things. Moody's ears picked up. And he said within his own heart, I quote, now if I could learn in 3 minutes what this man has taken 42 years to learn, I think I've done very well. So he listened carefully to what that man had to say. And he says, the first thing I learned was this, that I could do nothing toward my salvation. Absolutely nothing to save my own soul. And the second thing I learned, and it took me 42 years of striving and struggling and wrestling with God to learn too, that God did not require me to do anything toward my salvation. And the third thing that it took me 42 years to learn was this, that all the Lord Jesus Christ had done for me at the cross was sufficient. And all I had to do in order to become a Christian was to take Christ into my heart and into my life to save my soul. So sinners, I close. Give up struggling. Stop striving. Cease working. And abandon your soul by faith on Christ. And repent of your sin. And receive him into your heart. And become a Christian tonight. But as many as received him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. Father, we thank thee for thy word this evening. We're asking thee now to, Lord, hide it beyond the reach of the enemy. Grant that the seed of the good word would not be snatched away tonight, neither would it fall into, Lord, stony ground or into the thorns and thistles. We pray, Lord, it will fall upon good ground, soil prepared of the Lord. And the seed falling on good ground would bring forth repentance and faith and bring sinners, Lord, to Christ that they may become Christians. We pray, Lord, that we will recognize in these confusing days that we are not born a Christian, we must become one. And we pray that sinners will become Christians tonight, not by baptism, not by confirmation. It's not by human descent, Lord, breeding or pedigree, not by human, Lord, desire. Lord, we could have the parents do all that we can, and it's not by human design, but Lord, we rejoice and we praise thee that it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, that we're saved. And we pray, Lord, that this night sinners will repent and believe, and they will be born again, and they will come to Christ to be able to go out of this house saying, I am a true Christian, I truly am saved, and I know it's well with my soul. So part us with thy fear and favor. Bless the word to every heart, we pray. And we pray that you'll use the word to the saving of precious souls. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.